As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
With the 30th pick, the Buffalo Bills select.
Backs up on first down, is pressure, and slung down at the 5. The pass rush gets home. That's big Kenneth Grant.
Cook pumps, throws, Burton. In space. That's where you want him to get the football, and he takes it to Niles.
Klubnik lets it go deep, and it is intercepted by the All-American Malachi Starks.
Play action for Ewers on 2nd and 10 to the end zone. Waiting for it and bringing it in is Matthew Golden.
Nussmeier given a lot of time. That's up for grabs and picked off. Trey Amos takes it right back.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy draft day. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. I'm wearing my wide receiver train golf polo. Expecting a wide receiver to be drafted. I designed this shirt. I didn't just find a shirt with trains on it. I designed it. You want the full story?
Did you pick out the actual train image?
I did.
And then the colors, I'm assuming.
Yes.
What about, like, how detailed was this? Like, the size of the trains?
Yes.
Okay.
Worked with a buddy of mine, started a golf shirt company. And okay. They'll be at Resurgence tonight when I get a look at this shirt. It's also got this. Check this out. See
the buttons?
The little button here?
Oh, the train button.
It's a ball mark.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's pretty sweet. I
need a ball mark?
Always lose my
magnets right in there to your button.
I have to have the magnet ball marker.
Well, or else I will now it's an accessory part of your shirt.
Yeah.
He showed me this idea. I was like, that's actually brilliant.
That's a great idea.
Can I make a shirt with trains on it?
I think I like that better than the hat. Because usually there are hats where you could put the ball marker, magnetized there. I think I'd rather have it on the button.
Yeah. Speaking of golf, you can get the Odyssey VIP golf card. It benefits PGA Hope. PGA Hope introduces and teaches golf to veterans and active duty military to enhance their physical, mental, social, and emotional well-being. So you can make a difference in purchasing the golf card, helping PGA Hope. It's a $129 purchase. You get $328 worth of stuff. 18 at Diamond Hawk, 18 at Shamrock Hills, 18 at Attica's 10th hole. Mm-hmm. Golf Dojo indoor for an hour. Encore Vero X1 golf balls. Bobolink 18. Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse, $25 gift certificate. And 18 holes at Destroyer Park Golf. So all that to benefit PGA Hope, and it's $328 for $129. We will be heading out to Diamond Hawk for the first time. The four of us.
Yeah.
Big match tomorrow.
First time this year.
For the four of us?
Yeah. Well, at Diamond Hawk. Yeah,
that's right. Obviously. That's right.
Great track. Very excited for that. Yeah.
I think Birdie.
But we have to decide what game we're playing.
I think we'll play 13.
Yeah, 13's a good one.
I would list on my all-time...
I don't think many people know 13,
though. We're about to educate people. On my all-time golf accomplishments, birdieing the 18th hole at Diamond Hawk is like top 5.
Oh.
It's like one of my top 5 achievements in 30 years of golfing is a birdie on that hole.
I don't even know if I have a par on that hole in my life.
It's a tough one.
I've played it a lot, yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely don't.
It was probably in a round where I shot like 98, but whatever.
Was it a birdie where like you chipped in or like no you just played the whole well?
It was a bomb drive and hit it to 12 feet and make a bendy putt.
Nice.
Anyway, yeah, get the WGR VIP golf card. Go to getmyperks.com to do that. So 13, how do you play 13 before we get back to our draft conversation? I was introduced to 13 last summer, and then I started playing it all the time. Like I introduced you and we played it all the time. 13 is a very simple game. The four of us will play with handicaps. Mm-hmm. And when a hole is over, you decide if you're going to keep that hole or you're going to exit out. Mm-hmm. And you keep 13 holes and you X out your bad holes. But you have to decide right away. Right, you double bogey one, X, get it out of here. You know, bogey two, that's a hard hole, fine. All right, I'm going to keep a bogey. You know, what am I kicking out? And the fun of it is when you get late in the game, you know, you've got five holes left and you only have one X.
Mm-hmm. You might have to cross out some good holes.
You double bogey number 14. All right, I'm going to exit. I'm going to ready for this? Bet on myself.
Yeah.
That I'm going to just play in from here, stroke play.
And not have a blow up hole.
Exactly.
Right.
And not give this round away.
Yep.
Betting on yourself. Also known as just praying to God I don't. that things go right. So, yeah, maybe we'll play 13 tomorrow. Excited. We'll be talking about the draft. We'll be more rumors. We'll be talking about the Bills having traded up to number two for Travis Hunter. I can't wait. I'm just excited.
Or they haven't picked by then, which is also a possibility. Teams are gonna want that fifth-year option for their quarterback.
If they don't pick.
The Giants and the Browns, like they would be dumb, almost in my opinion, to not give something. Even if they knew, Shedeur Sanders is going to fall to us in the second round. You still trade up.
Fifth-year option.
Yeah. Trade a fifth-round pick to move up two spots and get an extra year of contract control. That is super valuable. Because if the quarterback hits, you're going to want that in a big way. So the Bills picking at 30 to me is a ton of ideas for falling down. Hunter, by the way, too. Eric Gelko, Optimum Scouting. He runs, formerly Optimum Scouting, I think. He runs the... what does he run now? The Shrine Bowl. He's the director of football ops player personnel for the Shrine Bowl. And he tweeted in the last few minutes, like many are finally coming around to Travis Hunter, that he will play and can play wide receiver and corner in the NFL. Otani Wembanyama level, rare, unique, culture change franchise, off and on the field. He is Miles Garrett, Calvin Johnson, the best non-quarterback prospects in the last 20 years. I read that and I thought, are the Titans making a mistake? Not picking him at number one. If that's true, maybe they don't agree. But if that's true, and this dude is like all-time level prospect, he is rare and unique as it comes, and you're going to draft a quarterback that's a pretty good quarterback prospect, but he's not like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
He's not Andrew Luck.
He's pretty good. He's a decent prospect.
Should they be picking the non-quarterback?
You should never pick the non-quarterback.
Even in this instance, even where it's like this dude is once every 10 years.
All due respect to Brett Coleman, who I love and had a great point. Like, watch Josh Allen. If the quarterback isn't as good as that guy or you can't see him getting to that level, then don't pick him.
Right.
It's easy to say don't pick the quarterback, but reality is teams overdraft quarterbacks and then get lucky because the guy develops or catches whatever, gets all the right development steps. Isn't Allen that? Allen was no slam dunk. Allen was raw. He doesn't play well against big competition. His throwing motion needs work. His footwork is a mess. You know, you get this guy, you're taking a chance. Sure, he's got a big arm, but there's not a lot of... It was Dan Orlovsky. Now that it's draft day, let's revisit that draft day. I always tell the story. The number one person that scared me off of Josh Allen was not some analytics guy. It was Dan Orlovsky, who said he's not playing quarterback. He does a lot of things quarterbacks do. He doesn't really do a good job at playing quarterback. Mm-hmm. He doesn't see the hot read. He doesn't do this. He doesn't do... And I thought, I don't know, man. That's kind of scary for the Bills. So that's why Allen was scary to me.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the highlight. Like, look at this. This is quarterback 101. He doesn't see this. He's not doing this. This is a guy with all traits, doesn't know the position. Okay. I'm scared. And, you know, when they drafted Allen, I was scared.
But to Coleman, like, the aliens battling each other, you know, back
he's
and forth.
He's talking traits.
Yeah, because that is Allen. The Allen pick is, if we get him to learn all of that,
yep,
and we get him to know how to play quarterback and play the position the right way, because of his arm and athleticism, he could be a freakazoid.
Right, but the truth
is, Cam Ward is probably going to be pretty good, but the idea that he's ever going to be a guy like that is probably not possible.
But there are so many, there are going to be so many teams that fail doing that. Isn't that Anthony Richardson? Hey, look at the freakazoid.
Yeah.
It's already over.
But that can happen for even the guy that isn't like a freak. Like Kenny Pickett wasn't that.
No, that's right.
And he flamed out in 2 years, and they probably would have thought, oh, that's a safe, secure. What was said about Kenny Pickett? Oh, he's pro ready. He's pro ready. They showed him the NFL. No, he's not good.
Yeah, they said that about Mac Jones, pro ready.
Yeah, and sometimes the pro ready guy is just as likely to fail as the guy with the traits.
Right. Well, that's part of my point. It's easy to say you shouldn't take the quarterback. Like, well, what should I do? Like I have to field the team here. I need a young quarterback. If I sign Sam Darnold to $40 million, you'll be mad at me for that too. What am I supposed to do? When you're in quarterback purgatory, Bills fans know, what are you supposed to do? Draft EJ. That didn't work out. Okay. Draft Lossman. That didn't work out. Okay. Sign Fitz.
Well, the Bills didn't take enough swings along the
That's
way.
That's right.
Right.
Like, that's
if
right.
But to your point, like, this would be the swing, right? Cam Ward is the swing. Like, you want to take a lot of swings.
You are at bat. Yeah. When you're up there, you got to take the guy. If you don't take the guy when you're up there, you might. This is the Steelers' problem, is it not? The Steelers are always picking 20th.
Right.
They're never up there to get that guy that they actually need, so they take Kenny Pickett in a year with no quarterback, and then what happens? Like, it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. If there's a guy that you could justify number one, you should do it. You got to do it. 803-0550. Like, think about
the what you're supposed to do instead point is the one. Because
what am I supposed to do instead?
I could get to in a vacuum saying, like, I should take the unique all-time great prospect in Travis Hunter over the pretty good quarterback prospect in Cam Ward. But then my next step is what I'm doing under center. And if I'm Tennessee and I pick Travis Hunter number one, I honestly don't know what I would do.
You probably trade back up into the second and try to get Shedeur Sanders or try to get Jackson Dart.
Sure, right,
which
I guess.
I read earlier that there might be a staring contest or a game of poker between the Giants and the Saints. Who's going to get Jackson Dart? That seems to be what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to get back up to get him? There's one report the Saints would slide down so then they could pick at 12 or 14 and then move back in.
Mm-hmm.
So the intrigue for the quarterbacks and how it affects the Bills, the Bills are at 30. Let's say Cam Ward goes. And then who's the next quarterback that's definitely going to go? Sanders?
Oh, it could be
Dart?
It could be one of three. Because it could even be Milrow.
Could be.
Someone could fall in love with Milrow and all the points we just made about Allen, even. Like, isn't that kind of Milrow a little bit? Milrow is, I don't think his arm is nearly as big as Allen's was, but it's big.
Yep.
It's for him, it's more about the speed and the athleticism. Someone in the last couple days said he's faster than Lamar Jackson, right? Like, which he might not be, but he might be close. That's the athlete. And if someone's thinking like Brett Coleman out there, like, I need to battle the aliens, so I need somebody with traits, then I could easily see Milrow being the second guy. So, yeah, Sanders, Milrow, or Dart could all be the number two guy. And you have three teams at least, that are all probably in that mix. You do often get a surprise team that's in the mix at quarterback, too. Right, like, that could be the Rams this year.
Rams,
Seattle,
Seahawks.
Sure, yeah. A team we're not really thinking about for that right now, but that could get in the game.
The deeper we go before the second quarterback gets picked, like, we're at number 23. It's time to start watching multiple teams. Who wants to jump out of here and let a quarterback get taken, right?
Because
it could be the 25th and the 27th picks go quarterback, because teams jump up. And every time that's one thing. If you want the Bills to trade down and take advantage of this jumping back into the first to get your quarterback with a fifth-year option, you have to hope that other teams don't also want to do that or do it more. And if there's only – this is the thing about 12 first-round grades. You're Bean. You might be thinking out there like, oh, easy. Move down. One of these quarterback-needy teams going to move up to 30. Maybe. Or they'll move up to 25, 26, and 29. And now the market's stretched. You're done. Well, take your guy at 30 because no one's coming up for this player. And also, by the way, if that does happen, that four quarterbacks go because three guys get jumped in for – That's actually good news for your board for the Bills. That means that's three defensive tackles or corners or whatever that slide further to you. So we should be rooting for four quarterbacks to go in the first round. Five, shout out Kyle McCord. No,
he's
probably
not going in the first round.
Probably not, no. No. Mike on his cell phone. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I love your talk about the fifth-year option situation, and that's my biggest problem with last year's draft. I mean, if you think Keon Coleman is going to be a stud, trading back to the second round and picking him, you lost the fifth-year option on the second most highly paid position in football. And to me, that made no sense. The little bit that they got to move back to give him a four-year deal instead of a five-year, fifth-year option just made no sense to me.
Yep.
I mean, if you really think the guy was going to be your star, you need to take him in the first round instead of the second round. The difference in salary is so minimal between the 30th pick and the second pick or the third pick of the second round. The amount of money that you'd save on that fifth-year option if he's a stud wide receiver is astronomical. And just that to me, made no sense at all last year.
Thanks, Mike. To that point, what's the most likely thing that happened? Again, like, we don't get the full internal conversations. They tell us what they think. They traded down one spot.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what they got?
With Carolina? What'd they get?
Carolina. They moved up from the sixth round pick number 200 to the fifth round pick number 141. So they moved up. They moved up 60 spots from round six to round five, and they picked Cedric Van Prank Granger.
Okay,
that's what they got for. It's not a bad point. Like I in my opinion, that is invaluable enough to pass on. If I hit on this player, I have an extra year of control.
Well, this is where. What's the most likely thing that happened? You tell me that deal. Hey, if we drop down one spot, we move up 60. In from the sixth to the fifth. That seems like a pretty big win, pretty big move. All right, why do you do that? Because you don't know what you're going to do with the 32nd pick. And when you get to 33, mm-hmm. you have a... All right, let's right. take...
Another team, by the way, that's picking the position that you're yes. going after.
So what do? You take that deal and you say, let's talk about it, let's all sleep on it, come back and decide what we want to do.
Right.
The reality is that it's very unlikely they wanted to take Keon Coleman at that moment. He would have been on a list of... Five players. Let's reset, talk about it all day tomorrow. We have till 7 p.m. tomorrow to decide what we're going to do with the first pick of the second round. They decide, Keon Coleman. But if you knew you're going to take him, I think the point is exactly right. Is it a fifth-year option? That's what made Rousseau easy to do. What do? They put the fifth-year option on Rousseau, and then they get to work on a contract because he's comfortable knowing he's going to make money. They can work to undo the cap and move things around. So I think it's a fair point. And the most likely scenario is they were not set on Coleman when they made the trade. They slept on it, talked about it, 10 voices in the room, 6-4, 10-0, whatever the vote would have been, they land on Coleman. Maybe Ladd McConkey was a consideration. Maybe Cooper DeJean was a consideration. Maybe...
They go back and watch tape that whole day afterwards.
Like, couldn't it have been Cooper DeJean? They go with him, and then late in the second, they take their receiver. They go safety receiver instead of receiver safety. Could have done that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I mean, Kevin Costner in draft day, he's ready to pick the quarterback until he goes up to the podium and he drafts Vontae Mack. I can't believe I watched that movie.
I have not seen that movie. I have a...
The best meme from it, though, is the little sticky note of Vontae Mack, no matter what. You just replace whatever you want with...
Yeah.
Blank, no matter what.
I do have a, have you seen this movie for you?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer to this is definitely no.
Is it Airplane?
No.
See, they're making a remake of that with Liam Neeson?
Yeah.
Liam Neeson in a comedy movie. Okay, good luck.
How many comedies is he in?
I don't know how much range that guy has. I mean, maybe.
The chat will
back. Wait, he's never been in a comedy, right?
I don't think so. The chat will back me up on this. The chat... I don't know what the demographics are of the YouTube chat, but I feel like it's a little more my age, even though it's on YouTube, than yours. Ready for this? Have you seen...
Naked Gun, by the way. He's coming out with a Naked Gun.
Oh, that's
remake,
what,
not Airplane. Sorry. Okay.
Have you seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
I don't know what that is.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it sounds wild. I'm not going to lie.
It's wild.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves, George Carlin.
No clue.
Whoever the guy that was Bill.
No. No. What's the year? What's the year on this?
Oh, 1992 is a guess.
Okay.
Check it. Maybe even earlier than that, 91.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure came out in 1989.
89, I would have put it, okay.
89, we're in the 80s.
The biggest, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, yes. It's a movie about time travel.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah. San Dimas High School. What am I saying about Bill and Ted's? Whatever. The thing about Bill and Ted's is that Bill looked like a Ted and Ted looked like a Bill. And that was always a thing to me.
Okay, so it's a time machine movie, though.
Yes. Right. They have a.
Because on the picture, it looked like some version of Night at the Roxbury.
Or something. I mean, it's like a bro movie. Yeah. It's like a Dude, Where's My Car? It's like a. With historical references and George Carlin and Back to the Future comedy slash. Be excellent to each other, Bill and Ted.
Like it's a little bit of everything.
Why did I think of that 2 weeks ago and write it in my notes? Like, be sure to ask Joe if he's ever seen Bill and Ted.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure? No chance.
They were in a band called the Wild Stallions.
Okay.
Should you see it?
No.
Why? It's funny. I mean, it might have been funny in 1989.
I can't. The sitcoms from that era, they just don't. Unless it is like all-time great, they don't hold up. You got to have the nostalgia factor. If you are, you're like, oh, I used to laugh at that. If I've never seen these jokes before, there's just no chance.
Yeah, you might be right.
Was this Blues Brothers for me? Or is Blues Brothers supposed to be something you laugh at? Because I watched that movie for like an hour, and I didn't laugh one time. I'm like, I'm out.
Same thing. Blues Brothers is a little, little before me.
But Animal House, I think, is great.
Animal House does.
Yep. So, like, some of them do, but.
Blues Brothers is, like, my favorite movie ever, and I can't believe you guys don't love that movie.
I mean, do you laugh at it, though?
I don't love it.
Yeah.
I laugh at it.
In many points. When, what's her name? Pulls out the rocket launcher?
No idea.
Come on!
Carrie Fisher
is the girlfriend, and she's chasing her. It's unbelievable.
The rocket launcher. The rocket launcher might have been when I turned it off. I'm not going to lie.
I went as
that
the Blues
Brothers.
That might
have been the moment. This is enough. Enough of this. They've got a bazooka out now.
Oh, I can't. I'm so hurt and disappointed by this.
You ever seen Weekend at Bernie's? The chat's asking that one.
No.
That's good. I mean, that's, you know.
That one I at least know the concept of.
That's
though,
like,
because
that's
it's
like
been
2 hours of the same concept. It's, you know, Weekend at Bernie's.
They're all the same.
What you're saying is how I feel about Slapshot. I watch Slapshot. I'm like, it does nothing. Nothing for me.
It's fine.
I just turn it off.
I don't feel anything about Slapshot. But the Blues Brothers, I will defend with my life.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll jump through my glass window into the studio and fight you guys right now for that take.
Yeah.
Settle it on the golf course.
Yeah. There we go.
We'll make a bet. Loser's got to watch Bill and Ted's.
I'm going to come in a Blues Brothers suit.
Not a punishment for you, though.
No. There's a sequel.
It's
so good they made a sequel. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was the sequel.
All right. Bogus Journey?
Yeah, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. That was the sequel to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Loser has to watch.
Holiday Touchdown.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right. When we get back, we expect to hear from Bills minority owner and announcer of one of the fourth round picks and American soccer phenom and Olympian and World Cup.
Yeah,
Josie Altidor. It's calling in.
Awesome.
Next. All right, good morning. Jeremy and Joe here on WGR. Draft day for the Buffalo Bills. We've got the first round tonight, rounds 2 and 3 tomorrow.
It's beautiful out, too.
It is beautiful outside. Joining us on the Western Hotline is a man who has had a great career himself in professional sports and is now part owner of the Buffalo Bills. And we'll be announcing one of the fourth round draft picks. Josie Altidor is on the Western Hotline. Josie, good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Have they told you which fourth round pick? The Bills have a couple there, so you know, you got to get in there somewhere.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. You know, the draft's always there's a lot going on, right? So anything can happen. So we'll see how things go over the next couple of days. But we're very excited to welcome a couple of new team members.
Yeah, you know, you said I saw a quote from you that the idea of being part of the Bills, part of an ownership group to purchase stake in the Bills, was like a dream come true for you. How did it all come together, come to be, and what's it been like since?
Yeah, so, you know, I played very close to Buffalo for a number of years, about, you know, 7-8 years in Toronto. And, you know, I was a football fan before, but I got a chance to watch almost all the Buffalo Bill games over the last 7-8 years, and it's been a crazy ride. And to see the fandom, the support, the proximity in terms of the following they have in Toronto, you know, it was really easy to be a fan of the team, even from Canada. So, you know, really excited at this opportunity. It's come full circle for me, and you know, just really excited about being a part of such a great fan base and a great organization.
You mentioned you were already a football fan. Did you have a team before you got to Toronto and started following the Bills more?
You know, I grew up in South Florida, so, you know, I went through what people go through supporting the Dolphins for time. You know, I'm in a different place. I'm in a great place now. And, you know, like I said, it's been an honor to follow this team the last 6-7 years and now be a part of it. It's incredible.
Do you have friends back there that are still Dolphins fans? Because if so, it is a good time to be a Bills fan in the life of a Dolphins fan.
Listen, I'm slowly converting everybody I know in South Florida to Buffalo Blue, baby. So all my friends and family are Bills fans, and you know, that's how it's going to stay.
Yeah, you mentioned, so you played in Toronto for years, and the footprint that the Bills kind of have there already, and you and Tracy McGrady, Vince Carter jumping in. I don't know that this had to be, maybe it isn't different at all. You could tell me about what maybe the Bills' footprint in Toronto means to you guys and to you personally, or if it's just kind of keep going as it is.
No, I mean, it's massive. I mean, obviously, the three of us were very lucky enough to build, you know, great brands in Toronto, and to now have the opportunity, you know, with the Bills to bring the brand even more so in Toronto. I mean, obviously, the Buffalo Bills Mafia, they don't need us to do that, which was one of the largest fan bases, but we're very excited to take part in that process and really make this Canada's team and all of the Northeast team.
Josie, how many games have you had a chance to come to? I mean, what, you got future plans for that? Like, how often do you envision being around?
Listen, I plan to be around. I hope you guys don't get sick of me, but I plan to be around quite a bit. I'm really excited for this season, as I'm sure a lot of fans are, with how last season ended. We got a motivated group, you know, the best quarterback in the National Football League. So, you know, I'm really excited to be there, be on the ground, support the boys, and do what I can behind the scenes to make sure we're all pulling in the right direction.
I'm sure you guys would have met Josh Allen by now.
I'm sorry?
Have you guys met Josh Allen by now?
Yes, we got a chance to meet the GOAT, and, you know, he's doing well. And, you know, it's an honor for us to be able to have a quarterback like that who loves the organization as much as he does, who wants to win. And you know, he's dedicated to that over the next number of years. So
yeah,
we're excited to be working with him.
Yeah, I don't know that you guys were given, like, I'm thinking of, like, when draft picks get announced and they'll have a jersey with their number on it. Did that happen for you guys? Because you wore 17, you wore 17 for the U.S., so I don't know if you asked for that, if they would even Allen on 17 would obviously be the one they wouldn't want to, you know, be tricky with.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, I was actually drafted 17th overall, so that's why I went with that number my whole career. It had a lot of symbolism for me. So yeah, tonight we'll see what happens. But like I said, you know, draft day, a lot of things happen. You know, it's a time where teams are really trying to think about the season ahead. So, you know, we'll put our best foot forward and welcome some members to the team that I'm sure are going to help us a bunch.
Josie Altidore joining us on the Western Hotline, talking a little bit about the Bills draft. He'll be announcing one of the fourth round picks the Bills have. Josie, do you think there's any sort of advantage to a relationship where part of the ownership group now that you're a part of, a lot of former players and guys that have played on big stages and, of course, had, whether it's a big brand or big personality or a lot of people paying attention to them, do you think there's an advantage to that in the way that you're able to maybe relate to current players?
I think so. I think, you know, especially when you look at some of the things where, you know, I know there are places where we can improve. You know, when you look at some of the things the players value and the players look to help prepare themselves, right? Maybe these are aspects where, you know, we can do a better job communicating with them and improving on that. And that's the entire league. So that's definitely something that we feel like we bring to the table and one of the things we'd like to offer expertise on, for sure.
By the way, how deep into, like, contingency plans do they get with you? Or is it more loose? Because, you know, I don't think the Bills would trade out of the fourth round entirely. It feels like that would be hard to do. But have they talked about, like, what would happen if they move around the board and whatnot?
You know, it's funny you ask that. Like, you know, Terry Pegula and the entire organization has been so welcoming. And, you know, included us in almost everything going on at a high level. So it's been an incredible honor, incredible learning experience. I am not going to talk about anything of what's to come because I don't think that'd be right. But what I will say is that we're incredibly excited for this weekend. And, you know, these kids that are going to join the organization, I'm 100% certain are going to put their best foot forward.
Josie, how much are you paying attention to, you know, you're a big football fan, how much are you paying attention still to the world of soccer, whichever league, whichever format it might be, whether it's, you know, Team USA or Premier League or Champions League? Are you a big fan there still?
Yeah, Team USA, of course. Obviously, you played for that team for a number of years. You know, we're gearing up for the biggest, World Cup in a long time here at home. So there's a lot of expectation on the team. You know, a lot of things going on. And, you know, I'm still following them, trying to bring them out to the Highmark Stadium, our new stadium next year. It'd be great to have the national team playing there. But of course, following them, cheering them on, and I have big expectations for them this, you know, coming next summer. I think they're going to really capture the minds of the fans and hopefully put their best foot forward as well.
Do you have a favorite moment looking back on your career, even if that's the national team? I mean, you've played in the World Cup. I remember you scoring against Spain in the Confederations Cup. I don't know if you would put that number one, but that's the first goal I think of for you.
Yeah, you know, moments like that, it's hard to pick one, but moments like that where, you know, years and years you have people stop you and say, hey, remember this goal, or, you know, this happened, you know, and you helped me get through that time. You know, that's been the best part for me is, you know, having people stop you and talk about how, you know, different moments or games affected their lives. And that's been a blessing, man. I never thought of it in that aspect. But I would say, you know, anything that I did representing the country is a huge honor and one I took very serious. So yeah. I would say all things USA.
Do you feel like the landscape of the sport here has, I think no one would dispute that it has grown, but to what extent it's grown, maybe since the beginnings of your career to now? We're getting a USL team here locally, so that's just, I think, starting here locally in Buffalo. So that's been happening all around the country. There's more teams than ever. How dramatic do you think the difference really is over the last 10, 15 years?
I mean, I think it's pretty massive. I think when you look at, for example, leagues like the USL, who have done a really good job finding, you know, markets that aren't MLS markets, that are smaller markets, to kind of grow in and grow the game. And then you look at MLS and what they've done with most of the bigger markets and, you know, bringing Messi in. I think you can't compare soccer, you know, to when I started to this today. You know, it's miles and miles ahead. And I'm super excited for what's to come.
Very good. Josie Altidore on the Western Hotline. Josie, thanks for the time and best of luck with that fourth round pick and for a successful weekend for the Bills.
Appreciate it, man. Really excited. And go Bills. And be safe to all the fans watching the draft this weekend.
All right. Very good. Josie Altidore, part of the ownership group to buy a stake in the Bills this year and announcing the fourth round pick, which will be Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
By the way. Draft starts usually, what, like 11 on Saturday?
Yeah. The Bills have, in the fourth round, they have the 109th pick.
Mm-hmm.
This will be a fun game. Where did they get it? Where do they get the 109th pick?
Oh, where did it come from?
Because it's not theirs. How did they get the pick?
Where did it come from? The fourth round pick.
They have the 109th and the 132nd.
Where did they get a fourth round pick? Did they get a fourth round pick? There wasn't another pick in the Diggs trade, was there? Was it a second and? No, it wouldn't have been a second and a fourth, right? Could it be?
You know what? Is it the Rasul Douglas trade slide? I don't even know. I know that their third round pick that went to the Browns is 94th. That's the Amari Cooper trade. The fourth round pick that they have, that is 109.
Yeah,
it's tough to. It must be the Jets, formerly the Jets, and it's been traded twice because the Jets pick seventh, and it's the seventh pick of the round. But that pick,
I got it. For
what
you.
Is it? It's a trade with the Jets.
The Bears traded with the Bills last year.
Okay.
So the Bills traded with the Bears. They gave them a fifth round pick last year, 144 overall, for a fourth round pick this year.
Okay, so now that's 109.
So last year the Bills were probably about to be on the clock, fifth round pick, and the Bears called and said, we'll give you a fourth next year for this fifth round pick
that's coming up.
And the Bills said yes.
That's something the Bills could do this year as often as they want.
Slide picks into next year in a high, like go one round up.
Yeah.
How many fourths you said they had?
They have just three? They have two fourths. I think it's the fifth is where they have three.
Okay, so the fifth. So they could do the same thing again. Hey, we have three fifth-round picks. They're not all going to make the team probably anyway. Let's trade a fifth for a fourth next year.
Maybe it's two fourths, two fifths, three sixths is what it is. That's what it is.
Where do they get all their fifths, too?
They
get all these picks?
They have, in the fifth round, they have 169 and 170.
The Bills did get another fifth-round pick out of the Diggs trade, by the
way. There you go. So Houston?
Yep, so that's going to be pick...
I don't know. I'm looking at Houston.
I'm looking. There must have been 166.
No, they have Houston has that pick, according to the draft value chart.
I did it the other way. You're right. That pick wasn't the Diggs trade, but it went back. It went from the Bills to the Texans. Yeah, they got a fifth round pick for Kyrie Elam, of course.
Right.
In this draft, and then they got one from the Giants for Boogie Basham. That's a sixth round pick.
Time to cash that in.
The first pick of round six is the Bills for Boogie Basham.
Cash it in, baby. 803-0550, our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
And Sunday, May 4th, which is coming up, the only place Bills fans will want to be, Salem Field, 5th Annual Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game, and we've got your tickets. Be caller 5 right now to win a pair of tickets to the game as Bills defense versus Bills offense will play again against each other, benefiting the Imagine for Youth Foundation, and tickets are on sale at HydeCharitySoftball.com.
All right. Final thoughts. We're back tomorrow morning. Draft party tonight at Resurgence. We have a wide receiver train.
Yep.
Josh also coined the big man barge. Oh, we forgot to do our dream drafts. Let's do it. We got the graphic up.
Oh, yeah.
We got 1 minute to do our dream drafts. We made all these graphics. Owen made these graphics. Who's going first, me or you? Me?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Dream draft. Three prospects we'd love the Bills to come away with today. Number one for me.
Yours is really dreamy.
Number one, Travis Hunter.
There it is.
Travis Hunter. I got to mute my computer. I always do this. Travis Hunter, one.
We need a new fine bucket for computer sound.
Yeah. Number two, Matthew Golden, I guess.
Matthew Golden, I guess. That's only number two?
Just a receiver. Number three, Luther Burden.
Okay.
Tet McMillan. Just put three receivers on the screen. Come on. What are we talking about here? What do you think I am?
Just what's the point of even having Owen put the graphic? Just put wide receiver.
I was going to say.
Three default Madden pictures.
We have the wide receiver train. Josh had the big man barge. What vehicle for the safety? I got it. Hot air balloon. The safety hot air balloon.
No. Safety, I want like the... What's the... The new one of the new Marvel superheroes who's got like the metallic wings where he's like flying in and out.
Wingsuit?
Yeah,
wingsuit. The safety wingsuit.
The safety wingsuit. Right.
Malachi Starks, I like the idea.
I am going to go with James Pierce, edge rusher from Tennessee, who I've been in love with all week. Mike Green. Well, actually, let me go Jack Besh, second. TCU, wide receiver.
Yeah.
Second round. If they come away with Jack Besh, I'm going to love it. And that's how the Bills get their speed guy, because he's got to be a good football player too, right?
Is he fast?
He ran a 4.3.
Okay.
At the combine.
But does he play fast?
Whatever. And then three, Mike Green, defensive end from
Didn't
Marshall.
I see?
He's the type of pass rusher that I'm into for the Bills. He is a little smaller, but that bend speed rusher. They don't have a speed rusher. That was what Vaughn was. And that's what Jerry Hughes was before that. They have not had a speed rusher, though, that's been young in a long time.
Doesn't he have big-time character concerns?
Mike Green?
I thought I read nobody likes him.
I mean, does he get to the quarterback? You sure that's him?
Yeah, he's got some stuff on the character concerns.
Pierce has some stuff on the character stuff, too, doesn't he?
We got some allegations in high school and in college for Mike Green.
Okay,
suspended before transferring.
Don't love that.
All right, we're back tomorrow, but we'll see you at the draft party. What are you doing tonight? It's going to be beautiful. Let's go hang out, drink a beer, draft some players, and yell at the Steelers or something. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to yell at the Steelers. It's like my second favorite thing to do. All right, we're back tomorrow.